हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण। Rudra Gita so far is fine. You understood the flow. Okay, 60th verse. Yatredam vyajyate vishvam vishvasmin avabhati yat tatvam brahma param jyotir akasham iva vistritam. Read the translation.
My dear Lord, the impersonal Brahman spreads everywhere like the sunshine or the sky, and that impersonal Brahman which spreads throughout the universe and in which the entire universe manifested is you.
The all-pervading Brahman, impersonal Brahman, in which the entire universe manifested is actually Krishna. Okay. It is his effulgence, in that sense it is Krishna, non-difference between the Lord and his energies. But actually, there is a difference between them. This is impersonal effulgence, is a personal form and a personal with so many attributes, like that. So, people consider Brahman to be the supreme, but that is also you only. He is just saying like that. Or Shiva. Now, Prabhupada gives a nice analogy. This whole section of these prayers is filled with very beautiful analogies. One analogy. Maybe one of the questions for your exam from this section, subsection, this fourth part of Rudra Gita would be, write all the analogies and explain. First analogy. All the planets and planetary systems are resting on sunshine. Yet sunshine and the source of sunshine are aloof from the planetary systems. Right? Similarly, all the planets, spiritual planets, and even the material existence, they are resting in the Supreme Lord's shine, his effulgence, the impersonal Brahman. But the Lord, he is aloof. Okay? Even Brahman is also aloof from these globes. Right, these universes, like that. Second analogy. The sky or air, it's spread everywhere. So sky or air, they may touch filthy substances also. The air may pass through a beautiful garden with hundreds of flower plants. And then the air carries fragrances. And the same air may pass through some sewage canal, and it will carry filthy fragrance, filthy smell. Okay, and the same air may pass through some waterfalls. It carries droplets of air, droplets of water, and it gives a very soothing sensation in summer, very scaring sensation in winter. Okay, and the same air may pass through big forest fire, and it gives very hot sensation. And it may even burn your hands also. Right? So air is same. Air is aloof. Air is not attached to any of these places. Air is just blowing, and that so and so event is happening at that place that is generating heat or light, and air happens to carry it. But air is not attached to any of them. Air never says, I will not blow. Wind will not blow in Kerala, Dharwad. The wind or air will not choose some places. Okay, this place I like because they are growing flower plants. Mogra. Mogra is very fragrant. I'll be blowing only where Mogra is grown. Because people glorify air when it is carrying fragrance of Mogra. People will air when the air is carrying some bad smell. Bad air is coming, I'll go. Air is not bad. Air element is same. the person who is generating that bad smell, so he is doing some activity. Okay, but air is not attached, air is neutral. Similarly, the Lord also may instigate good activities, bad activities, give results of good activities, give results of bad activities, but he is aloof from all this functioning. He is pure. Okay, so he is uncontaminated. Maya tadamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. The Lord is spread everywhere in an avyakta form, in an unmanifest form. The Lord is spread everywhere. Next, a successful businessman, third analogy in this purport. A successful businessman may have a factory, multiple factories, multiple offices, and all of them are functioning according to his orders, his preferences, his mood. But he does not carry all those things on his head. He just has a brain and he gives his inputs, right? And he has subordinates who follow them without interpretation, without deviation. So everything is attributed to him. All the profits go to him. All the credit goes to him. But he is aloof from all the minute details of the activities and functionings. Okay, his energies are doing the needful. Same thing with the impersonal feature of the Lord. Rasoham apsu kaunteya. Krishna is there as the taste of water, but you don't see him as person there. You can feel him. The water, the taste that the water is giving you is Krishna. That is his impersonal feature. Okay. 61st verse. We have seen three analogies at least in this chapter, in this purport. Yomayayedam pururupaya srijat bibharti bhuyaha kshapayatya vikriyaha yadbheda buddhihi sadivatma dusthaya tvamatma tantram bhagavan pratimahi.
Lord, you have unlimited and you have manifold energies, and these energies are manifested in manifold forms. Manifold. With such energies, you have also created this cosmic manifestation. And although you maintain it as if it were permanent, you ultimately annihilate it. Although you are never disturbed by such changes and alterations, the living entities are disturbed by them. And therefore, they find the cosmic manifestation to be different or separated from you. My Lord, you are always different, and I can clearly see this fact.
So, this verse describes the Lord, his connection with Maya, and even the living entity also. So, the Lord creates, maintains, and destroys this universe, but he is not attached to all these activities. Etad ishanam isasya prakriti sthopi tad gunaihi. You know that shloka. So, he exists separately. He causes all actions. He maintains everything. But he is aloof also. Prabhupada writes in this purport. Lord has three energies. What are they? External, internal, marginal. The Lord has two cosmic manifestations. What are they? Material and spiritual. He has two kinds of living entities. Who are they? Correct. So Prabhupada gives 3-2-2. When the living entity forgets his connection with the Lord, he wants to enjoy independently like the Lord, then he is in this material world. Okay. So the material energy, because of the mentality of that conditioned soul, that material world is troublesome to him. But that same material world is not troublesome to the Supreme Lord and even a pure devotee also. Okay. So when will this material world trouble us? To the extent we identify ourselves as the enjoyers of the material world. As soon as we give up our conceptions of being the proprietors, masters, enjoyers and controllers of this universe, there is no suffering. The suffering lies in our identification with matter, not with the matter. Matter does not cause us trouble. Our identification with the matter will cause us trouble. Okay? So, Prabhupada writes, why Krishna has to create this material existence that is meant to give trouble even to those people who are identifying themselves as controllers? Why the Lord is playing double game? He is doing this, he manifests some energy. To some people they give cooling effect, to some other people they give hot effect. The reason is, Prabhupada gives another analogy. The government, the national government or state government, they have two departments. What are they?
Prison House and Civil Department.
Huh?
Prison House and Civil Department.
Correct. You saw it? Saw the purport, no?
Criminal Department.
Wonderful. Civil Department. Correct, you are right. Criminal Department and Civil Department. Okay? Two things. So, they both are different in the eyes of the citizens. But from the government side, both are same. Government has to allocate funds to maintain the prison cell also, allocate funds to maintain the regular janta also. Okay? So, they have to maintain the roads also, they have to maintain the jails also. Okay? So, from their side, that's one more department. From the people's side, they are two opposite departments. Okay? So, for the citizens who are criminals, the prison house is troublesome. For the citizens who are obedient to the laws of the state, prison house is not troublesome. They may pass via the police station or jail, they are happy. They have no fear. But a pickpocketer passes via police station, he will say, "Hey, police, I'll go in from a different street. So problem is not with the police station. Problem is not with the government. Problem is not with the jail. Problem is with the person. Because he is acting against the laws of the government, he is afraid of police. If you see police, you don't have to be afraid. You may do PR with him. Come for our program. That all that you may say. But a criminal cannot do PR with police. They may do also nowadays. I am just saying generally. Okay. So, the living entity is not independent, but he is falsely trying to be independent. That's why the material energy is troublesome to him. Simple? Okay.
But why the devotees, they pray that, let me not be material, because it may cause me forgetfulness.
Correct. So, that prayer is there for a practicing devotee. For a pure devotee, Muktanam abhisiddhanam narayana parayanaha, not that verse, there is another verse. Narayana parasarve nakutaschena bibhyati. Svarga, apavarga, narakeshu, pituliyartha darshinaha. Same for him. For a practicing devotee, he needs to be afraid of material existence. He needs to safeguard himself from allurements of maya, depending on his strength of practice. But for a perfected devotee, for a pure devotee, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate Vidhimahendra Adhischa Kitayate Yatkarunya Kataksha Vaibhavavatam Tam Gauram Evastumaha. This material world is a source of bliss for him. It doesn't matter where he stays. Okay. Mahavishnu breathes out millions of universes, yet he is not affected. But that millions of universes are troubling to the tiny living entities. Material existence basically means forgetfulness of Supreme Lord. Number 62. Kriyakalapai ridame vayogina Shraddhanvitaha sadhuyajanti siddhaye Bhutendriyantaha karano palakshitam Vede cha tantre cha ta eva kovidaha.
My dear Lord, your universal form consists of all five elements. The senses, mind, intelligence, all ego, its material, and the Paramatma, your partial expansion, who is the director of everything. Yogis other than the devotees, namely the Karma Yogi and Jnana Yogi, worship you by their respective actions. in their respective positions. It is stated both in the Vedas and in the Shastras that are corollaries of the Vedas and indeed everywhere that it is only you who are to be worshipped. That is the expert version of all the Vedas.
Hmm. Okay. Universal form is mentioned in this verse. That consists of five elements, the senses, mind, intelligence, ego, etc., etc. And karma yogis and jnana yogis, they worship the Lord with respect to their own positions. So, there are sarvakamis, mokshakamis, okay, and they are nishkamis, correct. What is this verse? Akamaha sarvakamava mokshakama udaradhihi. So, all these people may have different aspirations, but they should understand whichever category I may belong to, I should worship Krishna only. Then he will convert all categories into one category, bhakta category. Okay. The Lord is one and he expanded into everything. Sarvam khalumidam brahma. Now, Prabhupada gives a beautiful example in the first, in the third canto. There is a glass of milk. Okay. If you approach the milk through your sense of eyes, you see it as a white substance. If you touch the milk with your hand, you will feel whether it is hot or cold. If you smell the milk, you get the fragrance of the milk. And if you hear about the milk, you will understand it's packet milk or powder milk or patmada milk or cow milk, buffalo milk, goat milk, whatever. And if you actually use your tongue or mouth to access that milk, you will get nourished by that milk. So the object is same, but you get different experiences of that object depending on how you are approaching that object, with what sense are you approaching that object. Similarly, Krishna is same. If one approaches Krishna through material desires, he sees him as an order supplier. Okay. If one approaches Krishna through, say, mental speculation, he will see him as impersonal Brahman. If one approaches Krishna through meditation, okay, he will see him as Paramatma. If one approaches Krishna through loving devotional service, he will see him as Bhagavan. So Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, all three are there. All three are one in the sense that it is Krishna who is the basis of all these three aspects. There are three aspects of Krishna's personality. Right? Without the person, how can a partial representation as Paramatma exist? Without the person, how can the effulgence of that person exist? So all of them are existing simultaneously, together. But you have chosen a specific approach to approach that person through certain process, okay, so you are accessing only certain feature. The person is in sitting in the room. You can approach the person through living room, through dining room, through the bottom steps, through the inside room, right? You have access to this place through your steps, right? That wash basin area. Okay, then you will see all the clothes hanging there. If you approach the same temple hall through that main steps, you will see some shopping things there. You will see the entrance board, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is written there. What is this place called? Everything you can see. Okay. So you are approaching the same, but through different paths, you get different realizations. Okay. So all spiritual seekers, whether they follow the best path or some substandard paths, they are seeking the same person. They attain the same person in his different features. Okay. 63. Tvameka adhyaha purusha supta shakti. Tayaraja sattvatamo vibhidhyate. Mahanaham kham maruda gnivar dhara. Surarshayo bhuta gana idam yata.
My dear Lord, you are the only supreme person, the cause of all causes. Before the creation of this material world, your material energy remains in dormant condition. When your material energy is exchanged, three qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, act. And as a result, the total material energy, egotism, ether, air, fire, water, earth, and all the various demigods and saintly persons becomes manifest. Thus, the material world is created.
How Mahavishnu creates the material world is mentioned here. You have some question?
So, in previous 60 seconds, in Supadhyay it's written that karma yogis and jnana yogis worship you by their respective actions and their respective positions. Bhakti yogis also does the same thing.
Correct. So, in this shloka, Mahavishnu is described as the original person who is the origin of all material elements and material universes. Okay? So Prabhupada writes. Very beautiful purport. Another analogy is given here. Why the Supreme Lord creates this material world? Why Mahavishnu has to act like this? Because it is not the mistake of Krishna to create the material world. Prabhupada proves that in this. And this example, this analogy that Prabhupada gives in this purport has been one of my favorite analogies that cleared so many things, so many misconceptions or doubts that might arise. This is about child's imitation cooking. You have seen that? Where did we discussed it sometime? Where? Oh, two times I read, so third time I will not do then. So basically, mother wants to feed the child, and oh, there also I told, see. That means I like it. Photos also, jai ho. IIYC, how many people attended? Oh, five of you. Okay, great. For Apurva Prabhu's sake, I'll say again. Okay. Okay. So, mother may cook and feed the child, but the child is so adamant that he doesn't want to eat the food. So, child wants to cook again, separately. So, mother will give him toy kitchen set. Okay. Similarly, when the soul does not want to serve the Lord and love the Lord, the soul is kept in this material existence and asked, you try to enjoy separately from me. Let's see whether you will be happy or not. So that's the reason why Krishna creates this material world. Okay. So, Ahameva Sameva Agri Eko Narayana Asit Narayana Parovyaktat. Like that Prabhupada quotes several scriptural slokas and say that the Lord existed before creation. Creation has a beginning and end. But the Lord is beginningless, He is eternal. Okay? That's clear. So let there be creation. Why did He think like that? Because the materialist, the conditioned soul, has this desire to enjoy separately from Him. So, just like a mother gives toy kitchen set to the child, the Supreme Lord had to give a toy spiritual world, which is called material world. Everything seems to be real here, nothing is real. In the sense that, it is temporary. It cannot give us real enjoyment. In that sense, it is unreal. It is false. Okay, toy kitchen set, all utensils are there. It's real. They are all real utensils. They are, you can feel it, you can see it, you can touch it. But what you make, what you cook through that, you cannot cook anything. And even if you imagine that you are cooking something, that cannot feed your hunger. Material world is exactly the same. All paraphernalia for our enjoyment seemingly exist here, but none of them can give satisfaction to the soul. Just like a toy kitchen set. We had Medu Vada now, we had Idli now. In the toy kitchen set also there is Idli. But you can't eat that Idli, you can't satisfy your hunger. The child has to come to the mother only and eat the food cooked by the mother only. Okay. Next, 64th verse.
And he also does it is false. The difference is, we are telling from temporary point of view. What is their point of view?
What you see doesn't exist only. Everything is illusion. There is Vivartavada and there is Parinamavada. I'll tell you, the difference is, we may think that we both are speaking the same thing, right? Sometimes we may think like that, but there's a lot of difference. So, everything that is manifested in this material world is manifested by what? You tell me.
Three modes.
What are the three modes?
They
are the Lord's energies, is it not? So, the Lord's external energy manifested the details of the universe. Right? So, everything that we see is a transformation of Krishna's external energy. This is clear for you? Okay. That is called Parinamavada. Parinamavada means there is an energetic person and he has an energy and that energy transforms itself to manifest various objects. This is called Parinamavada. Now, because what the external energy manifests is so temporary in nature, and in that sense it can also be called false, the Mayavadis say that everything that is manifested here is false. Okay? And they further say, quoting this, they propose this theory called Vivartavada. Parinamavada means theory of transformation. Vivartavada means theory of illusion. Means everything that we see is illusion. We also say everything that we see is illusion because it is manifested by the illusory energy of the Lord. But they say everything is illusion and there is no, if we say that, they also say our Parinamavada is wrong. Parinamavada, according to Parinamavada, we say that there is an energetic person, his energy is transforming as details of the universe. But they say that, if you accept Parinamavada, you are saying that the absolute truth is getting transformed. How can the absolute truth change? Absolute truth cannot change. So, whatever we see here is not a manifestation of the energies of the absolute truth. They are non-existent illusions, just like dream. You understand this? It is difficult to understand what they say, but to a certain degree you can understand, because what they say is illogical. They say Vyasadeva has mistaken, he says absolute truth got transformed and manifested this material world. But Vyasadeva did not say that. Vyasadeva said absolute truth is absolute, he's existing. His energies got transformed and they manifested this material world. Okay? But they don't see the difference between the energy and energetic. For them everything is one, right? So we say energy is there, energetic is there, energy gets transformed, energetic does not get transformed. For them everything is one. They say absolute truth is getting transformed and that is illogical. So what you see is not transformation of absolute truth, it's all illusion. And absolute truth mein kya hai? There is no variety. It's truth. That's all. There is nothing existing there. Although they say Brahma, Satyam, Jagan, Mithya, they say Brahman mein there is nothing. There is nothing in Brahman. Now you see, I also did this exercise, right? What is the opposite of absolute truth? I did that here, right? Opposite of absolute truth, you may say it is absolute false. Someone will say relative truth. Devotees will say relative false. You have negated both. Then again, relative false is basically absolute truth. Okay. So, absolute truth, they say opposite of absolute truth is absolute false. That is truth. In truth, there is nothing. And in false, there is everything. Okay, what we see around, all this variegatedness of material nature, it's all false. In the absolute truth, there should be nothing. That's how they manage to explain things. Brahma Satyan, Jagan Mithya. Jagan is Mithya. And they see detail in Jagat. They don't see detail in Brahman. You understand this? Jagan Mithya. Jagat has details, they see it. But they say that is mithya. Brahma Satyam. Brahman has, Supreme Brahman Krishna has varieties of pastimes and activities and name and form and abode. But they say that Satyam has no variegatedness. Ultimately, variegatedness means void. Ultimately, absolute truth means void.
No variety.
When you see variety, that is Maya.
They call everything to be Maya.
Sab Maya hai. That's their mantra.
They put this thing for the
Sarva-Sarva-Sarva. Mm-hmm. There are different categories of people, okay, who interpret things in different ways. Some say, I am God, everybody is God. And some people say, this material world is mithya and absolute truth is nothing. Okay, Sarvam Khalamidam Brahma. They say, this is also spiritual. Everything is spiritual only here. Sab ek hai. You and me are one. Everything is one. Whatever is happening is one. Our sexual union is also spiritual only. They have different flavors of bewildered people are there. I exactly don't know whom to call by which name. Okay. But these are all different varieties of bewilderment. We propose mercy, we got some clarity in life.
Yeah? It's the same thing with
the many times purposes, exactly. Illusion means temporary. Our point is, I just morning only I was working on this. Snake and rope example. You are seeing rope and thinking that it is snake. It's all illusion, they say. But they stop there. Yeah, we also say, we are thinking that rope is snake, that is wrong. We agree with you. But although this rope is not snake, there is some real snake somewhere.
And
real rope also somewhere. Real rope you are seeing directly in front. But there is real snake somewhere else. That point they miss. Means you are seeing this material world and thinking that it is real. Okay, fine, we say that it's not real, but there is some reality somewhere else. That's what we say, that's our point. But they say there is no reality anywhere. Because you see so many varieties here, they are all false. There should not, for truth means there is no variety only. You understand? Difficult to understand also sometimes. It's all confusing. Sometimes if you just go deep and drill their philosophy, it's confusing. And when you try to explain their philosophy, you can't do a good job of it. Because you are convinced of a different philosophy, right? I just shared my understanding of their understanding. Okay? But I may not present the exact understanding. You go to the bona fide Mayavadi, if he exists. It's all kichdi only. We don't have bona fide Mayavadis also. We have kichdi makers. Okay, fine. Correct.
But it is
the illusion is our identification with that temporary thing, our conception that that temporary thing is permanent, that is illusion. It is real. Everything is real. Okay. Next, 64th verse.
So there Vivartavadis, everything is illusion. And they say Vivartavadis is false because for them energy and energetic are same.
They don't have anything. Absolute truth means it's one. Everything is one. Where is the question of an energetic person whose energy is getting transformed? They can't conceive of that. When Vyasadeva is explaining this Paranamva, they say, how can absolute truth get transformed? I am not saying absolute truth is getting transformed. I am saying energy is getting transformed. Where is energy and all? You are saying absolute truth is getting transformed. It's all confusing. Okay. Now, Prabhupada gives a counter argument for it. There is a touchstone. You see, touchstone. If you touch that stone with some object, it will become gold.
But the stone does not change.
Exactly. Similarly, absolute truth may cause various transformations, but he doesn't change. If a material object has that ability to not get transformed in spite of causing so many transformations, what to speak of the Supreme Lord? Okay, that is our point. But they don't accept all this. 64. You read translation. I shouted a lot by till now.
My dear Lord, after creating by your own potencies, you enter within the creation in four kinds of forms. Being within the hearts of the living entities, you know them and know how they are enjoying the senses. The so-called happiness of this material creation is exactly like the bee's enjoyment of honey after it has been collected from the honeycomb.
Another analogy coming. In the 64th verse, he says, after creation you enter, it has four types. What are the four types? Andaja, Svedaja, Udbhija, Jarayuja. You know that, right? Living entity is born of eggs and embryo, etc. So, dull matter cannot work independently. The Lord has to enter it as Paramatma. Means, he created the universe, but Mahavishnu expanded himself as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu and entered the universe to manifest all the details of the universe. Okay? Similarly, all these 84 lakh species are there. The species do not exist. The bodies do not exist on their own. They have so many dolls, dog dolls, in the shop. They make with some cotton or some wool. But they are not real dogs. The dogs that are barking and not allowing me to come here, they are dogs. Right? Like that. Morning, 3:30 or 4 o'clock, some dogs are barking like hell there. That's it. And there was a dog right in front of the house also. A huge dog. So they are real dogs. Yesterday when I was going here, I saw 5-6 dogs here. White. Very thick. So Prabhupada writes another beautiful analogy here. The bees bite one another when they enjoy honey. The human society is like a beehive. What do the bees do? Bees go to different flowers and take honey from those flowers and store that in the beehive, right? So like that they accumulate lot of honey and at the end, after the beehive is full, they feel like enjoying it. While they are enjoying that honey, there are other bees, they are biting this bee. Arey, let me enjoy. There's lot of fighting between the bees who have collected honey. They can't share properly. And that is when the honey is left in the beehive. But if the honeycomb is captivated by some fellow who steals all the honey away, which is earned by the hard labor of the honeybee, then what will happen? The honeybee will not get anything. Okay? So, human society is also like that. A man, just like a bee accumulates honey and cannot enjoy that honey at the end, a man also accumulates a lot of money and he cannot enjoy that money at the end. He will strive, work for decades. He at the age of 25, 26, he will get some job and he gets some salary with which he can maintain himself, and he will get promotion after 5 years and one more promotion after 5 more years. And he will get married, he will get children. As he is getting promotion, his salary will increase, but his expenses also will increase because family is increasing. As soon as a woman comes into his life, children also come into their life, house, furniture, everything, all expenses will increase. So far he is going in city bus, he has to buy a car now. Okay, so they are increasing. So somehow his whole life's energies and savings are meant for one permanent house. Okay, one own house at the time of retirement. He will work for 15, 20, 25 years and becomes the owner of a own house. Okay, and then either he dies or his children will not allow him to live there peacefully, and by the time his grandchildren also may come, and they will think that this grandfather is a big burden for us. He's the owner, fine. And some of his children are thinking, when will this fellow die so that we get this property? This is very natural in this material world. And you can read 3rd canto, 30th and 31st chapters, especially 30th chapter. The fallacy of materialistic life, materialistic family life, and the miseries of an attached householder are very graphically described there. His birth, his maintenance, his growth, his death, his near-death experience, his post-death experience, his sufferings in hell, and his rebirth experience, all of them Kapiladeva very graphically describes. Then, and we need to refresh that memory once again. Huh? Every now and then you keep visiting that, okay? To keep your convictions strong in this ashram or whatever. Okay? Of course, it's Krishna's will. We should not criticize anyone just because they are in different positions. Everybody has different needs, and we should, all respects to all Vaishnavas who are chanting Hare Krishna. The point is, every ashram has its difficult side. Okay? So,
old people are killed and eaten sometimes.
Yes. Old people, they are not given food, and the younger generations, they will play with the old men. They will keep some bread or some eatable object, and then they will throw amongst them. Arey, Dadaji, come here and eat, and they will not give that old man only. And their suffering gives him a lot of joy. Gives all these younger people a lot of joy. Because their senses are strong. Even if they fast for 2 days, they can still live. But old man is not like that. He may die. For him, that bread is his life. And old people are also killed, and then their flesh is eaten in some degraded communities. So, this is how material world is. For those people, this fellow has worked so hard throughout his life, and they will only diss him. Many times, if not in all cases, but in several cases it's like that. 65. Okay, read.
My dear Lord, your absolute authority cannot be directly experienced, but one can guess by seeing the attributes of the world that everything is being destroyed in due course of time. The force of time is very strong, and everything is being destroyed by something else, just as one animal is being eaten by another animal. Time scatters everything exactly as the wind scatters clouds in the sky.
Time causes everything to be destroyed by something else. One animal eats another animal, like similarly, time also destroys things. Time scatters everything just like wind scatters everything. Time destroys everything means a person is born and he grows and he becomes old and he will die because time killed his body. Time scatters everything means a person has accumulated wealth, he has made friends with different people, he has created children and then he maintains family members. But because of time, he may have to get separated from them. Maybe he will get some promotion, he may become happy, but he is transferred to some other location along with the promotion. And he has to live away from his family members, his wife, his children. He has to stay in Hyderabad earning, and the family is in Visakhapatnam, maintaining his own house. And he can't sell the own house and purchase a new house in Hyderabad also, poor fellow. So like that, there is separation. Time scatters everything. Okay. Next, 66th verse. Prabhupada writes, one should feel the presence of the Supreme Lord's hands through the process of destruction. Every time we see something being destroyed, we need to understand Krishna's will is prevalent. Things are getting destroyed. Time, Krishna in the form of time is destroying everything. So we can only feel the presence of Krishna's hand when we see some destruction. But some people, they blame God. Some people see the will of God and they say that, okay, I need to be more careful. some people, when they see destruction, they become grateful to God also. Narada Muni's mother died. Narada Muni, when he was a small child, as a son of maid servant, his mother died. Narada Muni took it as the will of God, and then he performed full-time devotional service. This is the way a sincere soul is dragged to the shelter of Krishna. That's what Prabhupada writes there. Okay. For him, it is an opportunity to take shelter. For some other people, it's like, who is that? Kritadyuti. Her son died. Chitraketu's son died. Then she was blaming God. What kind of rules you are creating? You are going against your rules. You are a foolish and ignorant child. How can a son die before the father's death? It's too much. So like that she blamed. So some people blame God, some people ignore God, some people become grateful to God when they see destruction. Like that. 66. Narada Muni's mother, whether she went to spiritual world or not, it's not mentioned, at least within Bhagavatam. But we can surely say she must have attained very good destination, if not a spiritual destination also. Because just like Narada Muni served Bhaktivedantas, his mother also served the Bhaktivedantas, right? Her point, her perspective of the story is not elaborated, but we can safely assume that she must have received a good destination. At least a human form of life where she can continue to practice bhakti. That much is there. Read 66th verse.
My dear Lord, all entities within this material world are mad after planning for things. And they are always busy with the desire to do this or that. This is due to uncontrollable greed. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity. But your lordship is always alert. And in due course of time, you strike him just as a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him.
Okay. Time causes everything to be destroyed by something else. Time scatters everything. Time suddenly strikes a greedy person who is desiring material objects just like a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him. So these are various analogies to convey these philosophical points. Fine? So, last verse, 67th verse. Read.
My dear Lord, any learned person knows that unless he worships you, his entire life is spoiled. Knowing this, how could he give up worshipping your lotus feet? Even our father and spiritual master, Lord Brahma, unhesitatingly worshipped you, and the 14 Manus followed in his footsteps.
Next. So, he says, an intelligent person will not reject your lotus feet. They will worship you. And even Brahma and Manus also worship your lotus feet with strong faith. Why would an intelligent person reject that opportunity to worship your lotus feet? Ultimately, conclusion is to perform bhakti unto Krishna. So that's how Shiva concluded the Rudra Gita. He gives a small summary, 68, read.
My dear Lord, all actually learned persons know you as the Supreme Brahman and the Super Soul. Although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who ultimately annihilates everything, for the learned devotees, you are the fearless destination of all.
Okay, done. So that is the end of Rudra Gita. And in the last few verses, Lord Shiva gives the Falashruti of Rudra Gita and then says all the best to all the Prachetas. 69th, read.
My dear sons of the king, just execute your occupation duty as kings with a pure heart. Just chant this prayer fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. That will bring you all good fortune. The Lord will be very much pleased with you.
So if you chant this prayer and do your duties properly, Lord will be pleased. Okay. Next, 70th verse. Prabhupada writes in this, one can execute devotional service anywhere and everywhere in the material existence simply by offering prayers. Rudra offered Rudra Gita, or Prachetas are also chanting Rudra Gita, but we may chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we follow the prayer which is prescribed to us. Shiva is their guru, Prachetas guru, and he recommended them to chant Rudra Gita. And our guru and our spiritual acharyas, parampara, they recommended that we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we chant. The principle is same. There is glorification of Lord, but certain mantras are recommended for us. So we follow that. That is Namakam Chamakam is glorification of Rudra. This is glorification by Rudra. The glorification of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva by Rudra. That is glorification of Rudra. Okay. Next, to receive the message from Krishna from realized souls is the real purpose of having an ear. 70.
Therefore, O sons of the king, the supreme personality of God Hari is situated in everyone's heart. He is also within your hearts. Therefore, chant the glories of the Lord and always meditate upon him continuously.
So, chant his glories, he is continuing that only. Read, continue.
My dear princess, in the form of a prayer, I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All of you should take this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently like a great sage and by giving attention and reverence, you should practice this method.
Continue. Not much to elaborate. Continue.
This prayer was first spoken to us by our Brahma, the master of all creators. The creators, Red and Rumu, were instructed in these prayers because they wanted to create.
Brahma taught this prayer to Shiva and other great demigods. Yes.
When all the Prajapatis were ordered to create the Lord Brahma, he chanted these prayers in praise of the Supreme Personality of God and became completely free from all ignorance. Thus, we were able to create different types of living entities.
Next. So, even in the beginning of creation, this Rudra Gita was chanted and they were empowered to create. Okay, continue.
A devotee of Lord Krishna whose mind is always absorbed in him, who with great attention and reverence chants this stotra prayer, will achieve the greatest perfection of life without delay.
Okay. Hello, Shruti.
This, whenever they say that this is the prayer that was chanted, or whenever they reiterate the same pastime, which they would have heard from another, do they verbatim repeat or do they repeat
the
essence?
Not sure. For us, what is given in Bhagavatam, we take it. But as far as prayers are concerned, maybe they are verbatim. For example, Hamsa Guhya prayers, there are some Upanishadic prayers. It's like when you have to quote a verse in your exam, you write verbatim. But if you have to write the purport answer, a prose answer, you write summary in your own words. Okay, so both cases are there. Hamsa Guhya prayers, probably they are verbatim. Narayana Kavacha, in the 6th canto, 8th chapter, that is as it is, a standard prayer. Rudra Gita also may be like that. But there are some things that are composed. Okay, Kunti Maharani's prayers. She did not offer any standard prayers. That is her own prayers.
Brahma's prayer of creation, it is there given in the 3rd canto. He mentioned it.
So here Rudra Gita is like is taught by Brahma to Shiva, so it's like standard. Yes, continue.
In this material world there are different types of achievement, but of all of them the achievement of knowledge is considered to be the highest, because one can cross the ocean of desires only on the port of knowledge, otherwise the ocean is impassable.
because of ignorance we commit sins or break regulative principles. If one has knowledge, then there is a possibility that one may not commit those sins. But just knowledge is also not sufficient. We need to have service of pure devotees. In that sense, but Prabhupada writes, Chakravarti also writes, he is praising knowledge, okay, but however, knowledge gives more difficulties also sometimes and is not suitable as the boat to cross samsara. So bhakti is ultimate. Okay. Knowledge is the opposite of ignorance. Because of ignorance you commit sin. So if you have knowledge, you may not commit sin. To a certain degree it is correct. But some people, they commit sin even with knowledge and they get more reaction than those people who are committing sin out of ignorance. Is it not? So point is, whether you have knowledge or no knowledge, you are committing a sinful activity because you are addicted to the pleasure that is there in that sinful activity. Earlier you did it out of ignorance. Later you started doing it in knowledge also. That's a greater mistake. But why at all that you are doing? Because you are addicted to pleasure in that activity. But if you get a better pleasure in a other activity, you will not commit sin only. So bhakti offers that pleasure. When you seek pleasure in the service of Krishna, then we will not seek pleasure in the service of Maya. So just by knowledge will not bring this transformation. Of course, some people are there, even with knowledge also they may restrain their abstain from sin. They do that. But the extent of doing it and the success rate of doing like that is very less compared to having a positive engagement. Have a positive engagement and avoid negative engagement. This is a more sustainable thing than avoid negative engagement because it is bad. Earlier you are doing negative things unknowingly. Now you know things, don't do those negative things. The story should not stop there. You do positive things, you will automatically restrain yourself from doing negative things. That's what bhakti is. So he glorified knowledge and he will glorify bhakti. 76th verse, read.
Although rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God and worshipping Him are very difficult, if one vibrates or simply reads this stotra, prayer, composed and sung by me, he will very easily be able to invoke the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So if one has bhakti, and with bhakti if he chants prayers like this, then he will, and with Shraddha also, with full faith, then he will get mercy of the Lord, he can please the Lord and he can conquer the Lord also. 77th verse, 76th verse, Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is the Rudra Sampradaya, Mahiyasam Padarado Bhishekam Nishkinchananam Navrini Yavat. One should accept the dust of a pure devotee. Read 77.
Supreme Personality of Godhead is the dearmost objective of all auspicious benedictions. The human being who sings this song sung by me can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee, being fixed in the Lord's devotional service, can acquire whatever he wants from the Supreme Lord.
So anything desirable is attained when you please the Lord. Continue. Prabhupada writes, a faithful servant can fulfill any desire by the grace of his master. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. Read. 78.
Devotee who rises early in the morning and with folded hands chants this prayer sung by Lord Shiva and gives facility to others to hear, then certainly becomes free from all bondage and fruiting activities. My dear sons of the king, and the prayers I have recited to you are meant for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul. I advise you to recite these prayers, which are as effective as great austerities. In this way, when you are mature, your life will be successful and you will certainly achieve all your desired objectives without failure.
Continue. Okay, this is done. Continuing is not there. So Prabhupada writes in 78th purport, Arjuna is not responsible for the outcome of the fight. It is because of his bhakti yoga, Krishna enabled him to do so. So we have seen the See in the Phalashruti that by chanting Rudra Gita one gets freedom from bondage and it's equivalent to all austerities. Okay, like that. So, thank you all very much. Should we start the next chapter now or shall we start in the afternoon? What is your 4.30? So what will happen now is Prachetas are chanting Rudra Gita. While Prachetas are chanting Rudra Gita, his father was doing sacrifices. You know that, Prachinabarhi. Narada Muni goes to Prachinabarhi and enlightens him. You should not be doing this sacrifice, karmakandic sacrifices. What is the use of achieving the sacrifices? And he gives him a long allegorical story of Paranjan. And that goes for five chapters. Then Prachinabarhi comes to his senses and then he retires from his political responsibilities and takes to full-time devotional service. Meanwhile, Prachetas were doing these austerities. So that story, Maitreya Muni continues from 4.30. We are directly jumping to 4.30 to continue Prachetas line and Prajnana's line will be taken separately. So I just took like this because one section I thought I can cover in this one visit, entire Prachetas section. Prutumara section is very long, 11 chapters. So Radhika will approve an authority on that, so I don't let him do that. I just gave a connection. We'll start at 3 o'clock only. I don't see anyone doing sloka recitation. We'll not do it at 3:15, we'll do it at 3 o'clock only. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Prachetasa. I think they are extremely conscious. I remember reading it somewhere like that.